clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to?
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks. I am Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
I feel like we're recording so much lately.
I know. It's weird that we jumped from forever from recording until, wow, we've done 3 episodes in like 7 days.
Crazy guys.
He's
I'm Josh Lapping.
yes, guys. Week 1 upon us. If you joined us for the season preview, you know kind of where we're all headed in terms of predictions from Josh and I. If you listen to our fantasy episode, thank you very much. We've got some updates on that already as the season is upon us. But yeah, man, I'm excited. I am very
excited.
Here
we go. Week 1.
I'm a little bummed that we're not going to
be together.
Before
you know it, I know. That does kind of stink. I'm going to be out in the mountains. I looked at for everybody that doesn't matter, I have to go on a work, I don't even know what to call it. It's not a retreat conference. It's a conference.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like weird things. They're like, we're going to hike and stuff.
It's, what?
Yeah.
So
like,
it's
evening hike.
What the heck?
I might try drugs. Not really.
Did you say you might try drugs?
Yeah, it feels like that. Like we're going
to
go out.
Like ayahuasca?
Yeah. Or like we're going to experience nature. One of the things is like star party.
What? What the heck is this thing that you're doing?
It doesn't matter. It's
awesome. No wonder why you were chosen to do it. Now it makes more sense now. Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. We've got a lot to get to. So let's just get started with our first rant, rave, recall of the season.
Do you have something?
Oh, you don't?
I don't. I mean, I just want to see what you bring to the table.
Oh, I have a rant. And it's not something I've never said before. But in the past couple, actually over the last week and a half or so, two guys that we all know that I hate made some dumb statements again. And I just want to reiterate that guys like Mike Tannenbaum and Eric Mangini should not be talking about football. Listen, one of my biggest pet peeves in the world, and I know this is this is oxymoronic what I'm about to say, but one of my biggest pet peeves in general in the world, but especially when it comes to sports talk, is when you state your opinion as the only opinion that matters and that it's fact, and then anybody else who thinks differently is an idiot, drives me up a wall. And that's one thing, right? But if you're normally right about it, that's another thing. If you're Mike Tannenbaum and Eric Mangini, two of the most failed head coach GM combos ever in the history of the NFL, you don't get to have that kind of opinion. I'm sorry. Yeah. Drives me nuts when they're sitting there talking about, you just can't do it, or this guy is definitely not going to get it. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't. That's the reason why you both were fired and why neither of you have gotten another job, because you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm sorry. I know that I'm being them right now and I'm saying this, but I feel like most people would agree with me, and I just it ruins my morning, because I went for my morning I went for my morning walk this morning. It was great. I was in a good mood. I was making breakfast, and I was like, I'm gonna turn on Get Up. It's football season. Mike Tannenbaum sitting there talking his nonsense again, and I'm like, ugh,
talking the nonsense.
Shut up. Anyway, that's my rant.
That's passionate. That's passionate for having had no football yet. That's intense.
And then last week, Eric Mangini was all over Fox Sports 1 talking about their predictions week. And he was like, you know, I think this team really needs just to run the ball more. And I'm like, that, we're past that as a take. We understand that running is important and valuable at certain spots, but it's not the 60s anymore. You can't just be like, oh, we're going to run the ball and that's going to fix everything. It's not how it works.
Wow. I feel like that 10 years ago, you would have been like, that's the best take ever.
Yeah. And guess what? I'm a smart person. I learned.
Wow.
And I saw trends change and I adjusted and I adapted. I'm not like these old white guys that are like, no, it's the way that it's always going to be. It's never going to change. That was my Eric Mangini impersonation.
That was really good.
Thanks. Anyway.
That was really good.
Every call.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just excited. So that's my rant. My rave.
I definitely almost sprayed water all over my mic and my computer.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have anything I feel bad and passionate
that's okay.
about.
That's okay. I put it on the rundown because I was like, it's week one. We should have our regular format.
And I appreciate that. That's
and
really
then,
good.
And then I was like,
I was sitting there and like, I don't want to be like, we're devaluing positions or yeah. things like that.
I mean, it does
suck.
I thought
it was too stereotypical to be like, I'm excited. Football's here. That's my, I don't know. That's my Rex Ryan.
Oh, man. They moved on from Rex Ryan because they realized Rex Ryan was an idiot, too. He'll be back. I know he will. And he'll be like, I coached defense in this league for 40 years. I know what I'm talking about. Like, if you have to, like...
That was much better. It still wasn't really great, but it was a lot better than...
If you have to, like, announce your credentials before every take you have, it's because you know that people don't take you seriously for a reason. That's what I'm just saying, okay?
I mean, what if it's like Yu-Gi-Oh, where they're telling you what you do, because in case we didn't know...
Yeah,
what
but this
sitting
is
down,
the NFL. This is
what
like
if somebody's
Yu-Gi-Oh?
Sitting down for the first time to watch it and they're like, who's that?
What does Pot of Greed do?
Like, someone's wife might be like, who's that fella? And he says, say it again in your...
I've been coached defense in this league for 40 years. And know
like,
what I'm talking
it
about.
It could be like, wow, that is a lot of credentials.
Well, I wasn't going to listen to him before, but he coached defense in the league for 40 years. I should listen. Stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's good stuff.
Let's get to some news and notes. Now there's two pieces of notes to talk about opening night. Chris Jones, I believe, I don't know if it's official, but most things report he's not going to play because he's still not at practice.
I thought you were about to be like, has signed. I was like,
yeah, right?
What?
No. Still not practicing, so probably not playing Thursday night.
There's a lot of that.
And
right now.
Travis Kelce, hyperextended knee. So I know the Lions are a trendy team this year. I know some people picking them to win Thursday night. So what kind of impact do we think this has on Kansas City early on and then extending into the season? Because I thought Chris Jones was just going to be there.
So you want to specifically – let's specifically talk about
this. Yeah, we
this.
Can start Jones and then we can pivot to Kelce.
Well,
because
Jones isn't the only one. There's three high-profile defenders that are in holdouts right now that I'm really just fascinated by. I think it's intense. But we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's talk about Kansas City and the kickoff. Especially, I mean, I think Chris Jones not being there, that is important because I feel like Chris Jones is absolutely the most important defender on the Chiefs.
Chris Jones might be one of the most, well, not, he is one of the most, but he may be the most important defender in the league right now.
Oh, wow. That's,
I mean, I know
that's not crazy.
I know I talked about Dexter Lawrence and I know I'm high on Dexter Lawrence, but in terms of just like right now and what he was last year, the KC defense has holes in it, and Chris Jones completely changes the complexion of that defense.
There are a lot of other players I really like and that will have to step up, that I will have to watch to see if they do. But it's big. It's big. I don't think it will be it, – it's not a nail in the coffin. It's not like, oh, Kansas City can't win games now because they still have the ultimate trump card of Patrick Mahomes that we know can do – everything and anything that needs to be done. And the defense, I think, has enough pieces that, I mean, I still think they have a really good young secondary that a lot of players stepped up last year. So that's going to be important, especially as the pieces that maybe aren't as spectacular as Chris Jones are trying to make impacts. But let's not also pretend like there aren't other guys that are going to fill in. They're all professional football players, right? And, I mean, everybody in Kansas City is saying the same thing. It's the same as if Chris Jones went down, like the next guy has to step up and whatnot. But I'm really fascinated to see how Detroit will attack that specifically. I feel like they're feeling a lot more positively about going right up the middle than they were before. So,
and we know that they we know for a fact that they were extremely efficient football team running last year. They've got a great offensive line, and we know they want to do that this year as well with David Montgomery and the rookie Jahmyr Gibbs. So the two of them could end up having a huge game because their anchor's not in the middle. And you're right, they do have a nice young secondary, so maybe they don't test it as much and they run the ball more now that they know Chris Jones is not up the middle. I already thought that this game was going to be a shootout. I'm a little bit more confident of it now because the defensive pieces are just missing. And I know that Detroit, we hope, or they hope, takes that extra step with the second year of Aiden Hutchinson, and they, you know, they drafted Jack Campbell as well out of Iowa. So I think that they're hoping that they take a step, but they also weren't that good last year either. So it could be a shootout.
What is, for the sake of this conversation real fast, what is your definition of a shootout?
My a shootout to me is both teams score over 25 points.
Okay, so it's based, because I can really see Detroit using this to an advantage of slowing the game down.
Well, so I can see that too. However, I think that the identity of Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson is not, let's slow it down and bleed them. It's, we're coming right at you. We're biting your kneecaps, right?
That's true.
So I think that they're going to be like, we're going for this, and we're just going to put up points, right? So while I agree with you, I feel like they're really going to try to put up a lot of points on this team.
So let's flip to the offensive side for Kansas City and the Travis Kelce injury. I don't even know the last time somebody talked about it. It obviously happened this afternoon as we were recording. Today's Tuesday, so it happened this afternoon. I don't know what any updates are about that, but we do know that it is a hyperextended knee. They're saying he's questionable right now. But you brought up something interesting a while ago off air. I want to share that little tidbit.
Yes, I am jumping to the tweet right now. If I could find it, would be nice. But somebody had tweeted out the stats on players with hyperextended knees and the time that they left, or the time that it took them to get back onto the field. And only one in the last 10 to 15 years got back on the field within a week. They still missed a full week, and it was Justin Fields either last year or the year before. I can't quite remember which one it was. But most of these players with hyperextended knees end up missing a handful of weeks. I think the minimum is 4 weeks with a hyperextended knee. I'm going to keep scrolling to see if I can find it. But his status is uncertain for week one, and it could be longer, I think.
Yeah, I mean, especially does not help that their week one isn't Sunday, right? It's in 2 days from now, so that's not even, I mean, maybe if it was Sunday, like, we're giving a little more time, but being like, you have 48 hours, I think that might be putting it a little too much. I know there were some reports, players saying they were really encouraged by Kelce's demeanor afterwards, saying that he was still being Kelce and whatnot, and he was able to get off the field under his own power and get up, and he was limping, but, you know, they were encouraged by that. But I just feel like, you know, we're talking about a tight end that is 33 years old, so he's not a spry chicken. He definitely, I mean, still absolutely in the best in the game right now, but slowed down, in my opinion, last year. I know he was able to do a little more, bit more with route savviness, in my opinion, but it wasn't, I'm just going to fly past you all the time anymore. So, I mean, they have to play the long game with this. So I would be pretty shocked if he's out there Thursday.
I would too. And that's what we also mentioned on our walk home, is that they have to slow play it, right? Not only just because it's week one, right? But legitimately, he's 33 years old. You talked about him slowing down. They need him for the long haul, right? This is a team that not that every team wants to repeat, right? But I believe that the team with Mahomes and Andy Reid probably are a little bit more locked in on the repeat than, say, like the Rams after they had all their players and were like, this was a one-year deal kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So they genuinely want to preserve the longevity, right? And the Dr. Jesse Morse posts a lot about injuries, and he said Travis Kelce knee hyperextended. Don't know if it's his left or his right. We have to check on that. But he has a big history with his left leg. He had a bone bruise and a knee sprain before. He's been held out for swelling and pain in that leg and capsular sprain. So there's an MRA today to, you know, sort of inspect other things. But he has had injuries in his left knee before, so that's another thing that becomes concerning in terms of you know, the accumulation of injuries on a specific body part, there's deterioration, right? This is football. It's a contact sport. And while Kelce is a big man and doesn't always take huge hit, he still operates over the middle and takes hits, right? Yeah. So I also would be shocked. I keep scrolling through to see if I could find the thing that I saw earlier today, and I can't find it. I think it's lost to the ether now. But yeah, I think that it is concerning for the team moving forward because of the lack of other – I don't want to say lack of weapons because they have weapons, but lack of proven weapons, right? We have high expectations for Sky Moore. We do. I know some people don't. second-round pick Rashee Rice, a lot of people love. Kadarius Toney, I don't even know what the status of him is, right? Wouldn't it be just crazy if, like, Kelce goes down and then Toney becomes healthy and is like a star? But they have Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And then, of course, their backup tight end.
He was also limited today. Yeah.
Noah Gray, their backup tight end, who they really like, right? So, yes, I would not expect him to be there Thursday night. We'll see what happens, of course. But it's a concern. It's a concern for this team that on our prediction episode, not last week, I was like, I don't really have concerns for this team. Now, all of a sudden, there's a handful of them.
Sure. Okay, so let's not just focus on KC, Detroit right now. There are other high-profile holdouts that are still holding out, which I think up to this point, I mean, we've seen it before. We've seen a couple players go into the year. We've seen, you know, a couple years ago, Le'Veon Bell did the whole year. So it's not something new, but I think having so many players that I think are really impactful, well-known faces of the league, I don't remember the last time that I feel like so many have been there. So we do have Chris Jones, we already talked about, but we have Nick Bosa over in San Francisco. We have Brian Burns in Carolina.
I did see a report about Brian Burns was not at practice today, and I didn't know anything about Brian Burns. I mean, he's a star.
That one's pretty new.
Yeah, it's new. I thought I saw a report that they said talks with Bosa were positive and they expected him to be there.
That is also the trend that I've heard, but they've been saying that for a while now.
Okay, and I was going to say.
Football's 5 days away.
Right, and you know? God, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because you can see I've become a little bit different in terms of my opinion about this. I think early on, and the younger I was always the, you got to be there for your guys. Everything else takes care of itself kind of person. And I think I want to be that. Like, in an ideal world, that's the way that it is. But unfortunately, we don't live in an ideal world. And we're just talking about these injuries. And so when you are able to get what you deserve, right? And believe me, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably don't hold this opinion that players are paid too much. Believe me, they are underpaid for what the value they bring sometimes to the team or to the city and the organization that makes so much more than they do, right? So Nick Bosa deserves that money, right? Brian Burns deserves his money. So I have, the older I've gotten, sort of developed and become the side of, you got to get what you can get when you can get it. You know what I mean? Because some of these players, I mean, how many stories do we hear of ex-NFL players who didn't plan right and are out on the streets, right? Because they didn't plan their finances right, you know? So luckily, a lot of these players do end up finding second careers in coaching and media and all that stuff and some, you know, beyond it. But when you are at the height of your playing, right? Like, I would say that Burns and Bosa are entering their primes right now or in their primes, then you need to make sure you get what you deserve, I think. Now, we don't know the nuance of it, right? We don't know the minute details, right? Like, maybe we're hashing over a $1 million extra signing bonus. Then it gets like, okay, what are we doing here, right? But I do think that these guys deserve to be paid, and I think that Bosa will get paid. I don't know anything about the Burns thing because that's newer to me. But I know that some people said that they were offered 2 first-round picks for Burns last year before the deadline and they didn't accept it. So it's weird to me that they're like, we're not going to trade him for an amazing package, but we're also not going to pay him either. That seems weird to me.
It is a little surprising because I do remember that.
But I have been more on the side of the players building block recently.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I just can't remember. Like, I remember, was it Jamal Adams a couple years ago was out for a couple games? Like, it happens, but I was like, these are 3 huge players. I just don't remember this time of the year where it's so many.
You're right. And most of the time I feel like it works out, right? Like Barkley worked out, Jacobs worked out, you know. So we'll see what happens. But it
clock's
could
ticking.
Heavily impact these teams early on, right?
Yeah. Sure can.
All right, well,
let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's go into our week one slate. So obviously we don't have previous games to cover, so in this section we'll do a little extra previewing. So I have three little things here I think might be fun. A game you're most excited for, a game that confuses you the most, and then predicting what the best game of the week is. So do you want to go ahead and start on your most excited for game?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for the opening Monday Night Football game. I don't know if this is what you said. It probably is. Because you're a homer. The Bills traveling to take on Aaron Rodgers and those Jets. I mean, I think everything about this is just really, really exciting, right? I mean, so we have the anniversary of September 11th in New York. It's just two games between, I think, powerhouses where, you know, we have two great defenses. And in my opinion, we have two great quarterbacks. We have exciting offenses that with young pieces that we'll have to see how they develop and how they use. I'm excited for New York to see how they divvy up the touches between Hall and Cook. And if Hall, you know, they're saying he isn't limited, like he is a full go. But to see like if this explosiveness that was on the field before he went down last year is still evident right away.
Yeah, I mean, he had that take your breath away explosiveness, right? Most players in the NFL are explosive, but there's only a handful that have that kind of
Adam Thielen
second gear
explosive.
Man, I just loved Adam Thielen for the cook-off. Love it.
Part two.
Back to ground. I don't know why that's my favorite joke, but I love it so much. It's not the game I picked. I am excited for it, but for two reasons why I don't have it as my most excited, because I think we're going to lose that game, right?
Are you doing like that like reverse psychology thing though right now?
No, it could be, but I have recently thought I think that the Jets are going to come out strong and finish weak, and that's why they'll miss. That's what I think is going to happen, because I think that Rodgers over the year is going to, I don't want to say deteriorate, right? But he's 40 years old, right? Like it happens.
Okay.
So I think they'll come out swinging week one. My most excited for a game is Dolphins Chargers.
Okay.
Because I am super high on the Dolphins this year and Tua Tagovailoa. I want to see this new way he falls using judo. And what did they? Didn't you guys? Wasn't this week one last year? Chargers Dolphins.
No.
But they played early last year, didn't
they? They actually played pretty late. It was in December.
I swear, I believe you, you're a Dolphins fan, but anyway, I'm super excited for this team because I think this could be a shootout as well. I think this is one where a lot of points are probably going to put up. Both teams are going to pass the ball a lot. I'm excited for, you know, another full offseason with Tua and Mike McDaniel's offense. I know that they were banged up, but Waddle and Hill are both good to go for the weekend, I think, right?
I didn't even know that Hill was banged up.
Yeah.
But
I know Waddle was questionable, but
Waddle
he's
trending in the right direction.
I know that Mostert's going to step in as the starter, but A-Chain should also play, and I'm interested to see
how McDaniel
uses him in the pass game. I'm just really excited for that offense and that team. And then the Chargers, like, what's it going to be with Kellen Moore, you know? Is it going to be all very different? Or is it going to be a lot of the same with just a couple different things sprinkled in here or there? I'm just interested to see that matchup. And when two young quarterbacks go at it, and especially these ones who were so linked in that draft and went back-to-back, their careers, we talked about, will be forever linked. And we were the ones that pounded the table. I don't know if you pounded the table. I did, saying that I believe Tua was going to be the better quarterback. Certainly right now, nobody's saying that, but I still believe that I still would rather have Tua Tagovailoa than Justin Herbert. And and you know why I know that I actually believe that? It's because I didn't think I was going to say that, and it just kind of came out. I literally was like, I didn't think I was going to say that, but I love Tua Tagovailoa, and I'm excited for that week one. So what's a game that confuses you a lot heading into this week?
Confuses. I thought this was a really interesting prompt. I think the game that I have the most question marks about in an exciting way, I feel like I could put this game in either other category, honestly, and it's Carolina going to take on the Falcons. I mean, we have a totally raw rookie that hasn't, it'll be his first game, his first snaps that matter, right? And then we have a fairly raw second-year player that I know he had a small portion of games. What was it, four games? But really, like, this is him now. So, like, it's just it's a different atmosphere, right? We have two teams that, you know, I think both have pretty good defenses. So we'll have to see who capitalizes and whatnot.
Yeah, I think Carolina's is certainly better.
You think?
Obviously, I don't know about Burns, but yeah, I mean, I think Carolina's just got a lot of young, really good talent. I'm excited for the progression of Atlanta's defense, but I definitely think Carolina's a much better defense.
Okay. I mean, both have, I would say Atlanta has more exciting weapons, but I think both have promising weapons.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, Carolina's wide receiver core is kind of a mess right now. I love Adam Thielen, but like, we don't know what he's going to be at 33, 34 years old. I like Mingo, but he's a rookie, right? So there's, I mean, is LaVisca Chenault playing? Is he still there? there's a lot of question marks for that.
DJ Chark.
I'm excited for that game. I mean, I obviously, like, I'd like to see week one Bijan Robinson be awesome so I can be like, okay, I was right. But yeah, I mean, I'm not confused about that game, though. That's why I'm not picking that one.
Okay.
That one, I feel pretty confident in Atlanta, which means they're going to lose. I flirted with the Titans versus the Saints. I flirted with that one. But that's just because I don't want to go with my heart, right? Because my heart says that the Titans are going to win by three touchdowns. I went with Bengals-Browns.
Okay.
Because the Browns are a team that could absolutely be very good this year. Yeah. Mostly hinges on Deshaun Watson, right? And we didn't end up having to talk about them or him much at the end of the season because they weren't very good. But if they're good this year, we're going to have to talk about it. And it just sometimes you feel, at least for me, you feel a little icky talking about Deshaun Watson. But he could end up being very good, and the team could end up being very good because there's a lot of talent on this roster. And then Joe Burrow is going to play, right? But is he going to be hindered at all by the injury that he battled through camp, or is he going to be full go, ready to go, and great? So that one's a little confusing to me because all things being equal, I feel like it's an easy Bengals pick, but I don't think all things are equal right now. Sure. And I could certainly see the Browns at home making a statement right off the bat that they're a challenger in the North and in the AFC.
Burrow has struggled in Cleveland.
Yes, that is very true. So that one's the one that confuses me the most. I'll go to predict the best game of the week, and then I'll toss it back to you for that. I think the best game of the week is going to be 49ers Steelers.
Ooh.
I really, really like the Steelers this year. We talked about that. I had them in the playoffs. I don't know what's happening with Bosa, right? But Brock Purdy coming back. I think both quarterbacks will play well. I think both defenses might make a couple of plays. And I just think it'll probably come down to the wire. And I think that a lot of times there's always that 1 o'clock game that semi bleeds into the 4 o'clock starts because it either goes into overtime or it's like really close at the end, so all their timeouts are being used. And I think that'll be the game that it's like all the other games just ended. Let's tune in for the last 1 minute, 2 minutes of the 49ers Steeler game. So I think that'll be the best game of the week.
I think that's a great pick. I'm really intrigued by this game because I feel like you have strength on strength a lot of. I mean, I feel like it's a little bit hard to say what San Francisco's great strength is, but they have a great offensive line, right? Pittsburgh has a great defensive line where this is going to be a true right into the fire test to see if this revamped Pittsburgh offensive line, they've added to it in the offseason, they drafted into it. They're being thrown into the fire with this, whether or not they have Nick Bosa or not. They still have a lot of great other pieces. So That's a great pick. That's a great pick. I think the best game you already highlighted is the game you're most excited for, and I think the Dolphins Chargers can definitely live up to be something.
Yeah, that one fun. Could be like 38-35.
So that could be pretty exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. I might be on a hike. I don't know.
I was just gonna say, are you gonna have access to being? Because that's a 4 o'clock game. I think
it's a 4:30. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you gonna have any access to being?
I don't know.
I will say other games that I flirted with for best game was Giants-Cowboys. I know that the Giants have not beaten the Cowboys when Dak is starting in like ages or ever, maybe. But I do think that that one will probably be very exciting with the new weapons for Daniel Jones on offense and Dak fully healthy and that, you know, Dallas defense and the Giants defense, right? I talked about a lot. So I think that one could be very, very
fun. They certainly added a lot there at the end. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Any other games you want to talk about before we get into it?
You know, we'll highlight some other ones here as we get into this.
For the defending champion, the first time in 2023, it's time for...
Pals Picks.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Like I said, guys. Oh, man.
I thought about going to BK and getting a crown.
Man, I kind of wish you would have.
Should have.
Defending champion of Pals Picks. How's it feel?
Feels good. You know, all those BS years of something going wrong the last second.
It's just so funny because, like, there are so many other things. Like, you normally end up beating me in Madden in some way, and you normally end up beating me in fantasy some way. And for some reason, I had this one thing that always seemed to fall my way. And you know what happened? You found my kryptonite, which was the Raiders, who suck, and I hate them. So,
well, you don't have to worry about that because you gave them to me this time.
Yeah, well, how the turntables. All right, let's do it. You got to give the games first as the defending champ. Let's get into it.
Here we go. So that best game of the week, the San Francisco 49ers travel out to Pittsburgh. Take on those Steelers. What's going to happen?
Like I said, I think this is going to be the best game of the week. I'm very, very excited for it on both sides of the football. I know our friend Ian is very pumped about the Steelers. I'm buying into the perfect passer rating of Kenny Pickett. So Pickett to Pickens, Pickett to everybody else. Picking the Steelers in this one.
Steelers.
I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think it'll be close. I think Brock Purdy makes a mistake or two. Not like so much so that it's like, oh man, why did we trade Trey Lance? This was a mistake. I think that he makes one or two that says, well, you know what? He was like pretty blemish proof last year. It can't continue that way forever. So I think that he makes a few mistakes. I think Pickens protects the football. I think both Najee and Warren have pretty good games. I see Freiermuth probably catching a red zone touchdown late or something like that, right?
Okay.
And I see the Steelers upset week one.
Yeah. Here we go. I like it. Here we go, Pittsburgh. All right. How about that game we're both looking forward to, the Dolphins heading out to L.A. to take on Herbert and the Chargers.
Like I said, I love Tua Tagovailoa. I really think that I see the road team taking a victory here. I think that they are going to – I know that Raheem Mostert's older, but I think Mostert played really, really well last year. And I think that, you know, him in this sort of – I mean, Mike McDaniel is from the San Fran tree, right? But he's kind of, you know – moved off a little bit on his own, but I think that zone run scheme with him, I think A-Chain out of the backfield, I think Tua fully healthy, another year in the system with Waddle and Hill. I just think that those weapons are a little bit too much because we've talked about Brandon Staley, while being a defensive guy, his defenses have not been that good. And so until I see a change in that trend, I'm going to pick the offense that can put up more points, which I think right now is Miami. I also see this one being like both teams score 30 points and win. So
okay.
I think that Tua gets it done on the road.
So I already know your pick here. It was spoiled for me, but I want you to just explain your insights into the game, going to the Sunday night game. Dallas heading to the New York Giants.
Yeah, so if you listen to our preview episode, you know that I picked Dallas to go to the Super Bowl, right? But that doesn't mean I think they're going to win every game. I'm going to pick the Giants in this one.
Tell me why.
And so here's the thing. I think that this is another one of those close game possibilities. But I also think this could be Giants win by like 10. And people are like, whoa, what is happening? I just think that people are going to underestimate the Giants early on. Because last year, and I said this on the preview episode, last year they surprised people a lot, right? They got to 7 wins very early, right? I think they were 7-2 or something like that. Like, they were very good very quick. And then they struggled a little bit at the end. Because I think what happened was they schemed their way to all these wins early. And then people kind of figured it out. And they didn't have the talent, right, to continue. And they schemed their way to a victory against the Vikings in the playoffs. And it was like, oh, okay, maybe it's not a fluke. I don't think it's a fluke. I think they just added more talent. So the scheme is still going to be great. But now they have Darren Waller and Jalen Hyatt and all these pieces. And, you know, dare I say Paris Campbell. Dare I say that name on this podcast after what he's done to us. I just think that they now have the weapons. I mean, they could still afford to get more, but they now have better weapons to better fit the scheme that Daboll is going to draw up. And I see it being one of those upset wins because Waller's going to have a great game and Hyatt might make a big play catch, which is a type of weapon they didn't have last year, right? I actually think Wandale Robinson is healthy. I think he's going to play as well. I'm excited to see how they utilize him in the offense. I think this is going to be a fun game, and I think that it'll be one of those Daboll and the Giants are making a statement type of wins. I still does not lower my stock on the Dallas Cowboys at all, but they're not going to go undefeated. I think they lose week one, and I think that sort of galvanizes them to be like, okay, we know who we are, we know we're great, but we have to take every game seriously, and we have to go week by week.
Okay, great. Great. So you have the Steelers upsetting the 49ers, the Dolphins getting the win over the Chargers, and the Giants vanquishing their rival Cowboys.
If history's show, I'll probably start 0-3, but that's fine. So we go to your pals' picks. We're going to go to my most confusing game of the week. The Browns are hosting the Bengals in Cleveland.
Yeah. I appreciated the things you said when talking about this game. I totally understand it as well. I'll say right now, I don't think Deshaun Watson's going to be bad. I don't think the sample size that we got at the end of the year after like 18 months off of playing football is going to be what we get with this. I think he had the offseason. I understand he had the offseason last year, but it was just weird and different. It was on the move and meeting all these players, and then you had to sit out for the first 10 weeks. This has been different. This is now his team, right? So whether or not we're uncomfortable or not, we're probably going to have to talk about Deshaun Watson and the Browns. But on this one, I'm still going with who I had winning the Super Bowl in this one, the Bengals. I feel like the Browns have always had so many pieces, right? And it seems like every year, in my opinion, you're like, how do the Browns keep adding this guy? And they got this guy too? Oh my gosh, they're going to be unbeatable. And they just never seem to gel quite super well. Well, the Bengals added a lot. I think on paper, so we'll have to see how it translates to the field, right? On paper, this is the best offensive line that Joe Burrow has had in front of him. So we're talking about him coming off the strained calf that he got on a bootleg run. He might be more in the pocket. But you know the last game when Joe Burrow wasn't just running around being crazy? Buffalo in the snow. He sat there in the pocket and he just dissected things. And I get that Cleveland has some really nice secondary pieces I really like, but I don't know if I see them being able to vanquish or trump all of the great offensive pieces that Cincinnati has. So I'm picking Cincinnati in this one.
Yeah, I think that one could end up being a little bit of a pull away game, like 14-17 point win for Cincinnati.
You think it'd be that big?
Wow. I think it could be. Yeah, I think the Browns are either going to be really good or they're going to be really disappointing. I don't know if they're going to be anywhere in the middle. All right, let's go to my kryptonite team that I was surprised you didn't give to me because it worked so well for you last year. But the Raiders are taking on the Denver Broncos in Denver, a team that you have sneaking into the playoffs.
Yeah, I didn't want you to hate Pal's picks right away. Like, I'm ready for that quote later on down the road when I really need it. That's going to be the secret card I play. I feel good about this one for the Broncos. I just don't believe in Josh McDaniels. I just don't. And like you were saying, until you see something that proves otherwise, that's how I feel about McDaniels. And I'm like, you've put together a great game, complete game, right? Like, I don't want a great drive. I don't want a great quarter. I want a complete game. And I have not seen that from Josh McDaniels since, I don't know, maybe his time in Denver, if that even maybe. I think the time that I was like, yeah, like they're in control was the game where they beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs 18 years ago. So until I see that, I don't trust the Raiders. I mean, that makes me sad thinking about how one of my favorite players in Davante Adams is there. But, and I get Josh Jacobs is coming back. Pat Surtain came out and said they have it figured out how they're going to slow him down. I mean, you're never going to stop him, right? So they think they're going to slow him down. And I expect some magic with this Sean Payton, Russell Wilson combo.
Yeah, I just feel bad for Davante Adams, man. Like you kind of, I don't want to say force your way, but there was an offer on the table for Davante Adams to stay in Green Bay with his guy Rodgers. And he was like, no, I'm going to go to the Raiders with Carr. And it's just been bad. Now Carr's gone and they got Jimmy G and he may not even finish the season. It might be a rookie, Aiden O'Connell, right? Like,
who looked pretty good.
I mean, he did, but, you know, it's preseason. So I don't know. I feel bad for Devontae. So
yeah, it stinks to be like, I'm going to go play with my friend and then your friend leaves.
That's true. Although it may not have really been his fault. I think that the Raiders probably wanted to move on. Yeah, let's go to the last but not least, the Tennessee Titans heading into New Orleans, a team that I have winning the division versus a team that you have winning the division, but neither of us have the other one. What do we think?
Yeah, I'm going with the home team here and going with the fleur-de-lis.
Yes, I got you on one.
Yeah, okay. We'll see what happens. This comes down to, I think the Saints defense is talented enough to slow down and limit Derrick Henry to not go bananas. I think I've obviously come off my Derrick Henry train a little bit, right? But I think Derrick Henry can do a lot of damage when players aren't as fresh. Well, no one's ever going to be as fresh as they are in week one, where I don't think the Titans secondary can deal with the Saints receivers. Michael Thomas, maybe after 17 years, is finally supposed to be healthy. Chris Olave, I've already spoken about how he did some really historic things in year one, a little under the radar because of the Andy Dalton and whatnot, not exciting. Nobody wants to see Red Rifle. I think this will work. I understand that Alvin Kamara's not there. That is a blow, but they have a guy that scored 18 touchdowns on the ground last year. I think they still have...
I think Kendre Miller is still going to play, the rookie.
I'm going to be really interested to see how they use him.
I really like Kendre Miller a lot. I have some stock in him in fantasy.
So I just don't think the Titans' defense will be able to hang around with the Saints as much as I think the Saints' defense will be able to hang around with the Titans.
We talk about this a lot. It's very rare that we I don't want to say vehemently, but like disagree so heavily. And I don't see any of that at all. I'm not saying that you're stupid for it, but I really think you're dumb. I think the Titans are the one that are the dominant offense here, not the Saints, and that they're going to like impose their will, but we'll see what happens.
Nope.
So just to recap here, you did go with the Cincinnati Bengals on the road. You took the, oops, sorry, I completely lost my thing there. You took the Bengals on the road. You took the Broncos at home and then the Saints at home in the Superdome. That was Pal's Picks week one, sponsored by, what should it be sponsored by?
Here we go.
I normally have one, but I never. Sponsored by Apple. Please send me a new charger for my computer because I don't have one and I have to borrow Josh's and it's inconvenient for both of us. Anyway, let's get to some cold reads for you.
Let's do it.
I've got some fun ones for you. My first cold read for you is, who do you think is going to be? So we've got three rookie quarterbacks starting week one. Who do you think will have the best outing in week one out of Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, and CJ Stroud?
I think the answer for me is, I can't honestly actually even remember. Oh, yes, I do. Okay. I think the answer is pretty comfortably the number one overall pick, Bryce Young. I think, and you kind of even alluded to it yourself, maybe I'm a little higher, which is funny thinking about, or giving more credit to the Atlanta defense, but I think, you know, CJ Stroud with Houston's playing Baltimore, and we know that's a scary defense. Anthony Richardson is playing Jacksonville. With the last time we saw Jacksonville, they were making life uncomfortable for Patrick Mahomes, and we know they made it uncomfortable for Justin Herbert there at the end. I can definitely see Richardson doing some things, but in terms of best game, I think it's going to be Bryce Young.
All right. My second cold read, I agree with you, by the way. I think Bryce Young will probably look solid week one. Although I won't be surprised if Richardson has like a handful of wow plays against the Jaguars and we're like, whoa, okay.
Sure. I think wow plays is absolutely, I don't want to say expected, but I think we're going to see more wow plays than we see consistency right now.
Right. And that's the difference between the two players. So, all right, let's go to second cold read. Josh Lapping's favorite thing in the world, power rankings. Woo! I'm going to give you the NFL.com, Dan Hansius, I think his name is, that does it. I'm going to give you his top five in power rankings to start the season. I want you to let me know if you agree with them, and if you disagree on how would you rearrange them?
Okay.
Kansas City, number one. Philadelphia, number two. Buffalo, number three. San Fran number 4 and Cincy number 5.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty solid. I think personally, my cup of tea is I would flip 49ers in Buffalo. I understand that Buffalo is really stout, but for me, they have question marks on defense of missing Von Miller right now for the first four games. They did trade away Boogie Basham. I get that they signed Floyd. I want to see how that reacts. And honestly, I feel like I don't know reports and everything and how the offseason's gone and whatnot, but for me right now sitting here, I have a few questions about the secondary. I mean, we have two great safeties I really like, but they're getting up there in age. We'll have to see if that starts to catch up with them. We'll have to see. Tre'Davious White came back last year, but was a little slowed down, a little hampered as he worked his way back. We'll have to see if that is the new norm or if that was just shaking off rust and if we get the truly dominant corner that we saw for so long. So for right now, because of those defensive question marks, I would put 49ers over them, but I understand the 49ers have a bunch of question marks themselves, injuries, and is Brock Purdy going to be what we saw in the 8 games? So yeah. I get they have question marks, but for me personally, I put them at 3, Buffalo 4.
Okay, all right. And then just briefly, we know that the Cardinals are 32, but who do you think is 31 on the power rankings list?
On the power rankings, who do I think is 31? I will say, is it a surprise?
I wouldn't have this team at 31.
Okay, I think it's Houston.
It is, yeah. Would you have them there?
You know, honestly, I think Houston's going to be a little bit better than people.
That's what I'm saying is I think they'll be a little bit better.
I thought I would think that was easy because everyone's saying that Arizona's going to have the first two picks.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either. So, all right, those are my cold reads.
All right, I have one, but I had one in my mind that I can't remember. So I'll just give you the one I have written down. So we talked earlier in the show about three defensive holdouts. Who do you think makes the biggest impact if all three don't play week one?
All right, so we talked about Bosa, Burns, and Jones.
Yep.
Jones. Yeah, I know that we talked about it at the top of the show, so it's a little bit not fun to talk about. I do think that like Burns makes an impact, but I see Atlanta being able to run the ball even if he's there. And Bosa being gone hurts, but I still see the Steelers being able to move the ball without him there. Chris Jones not being there changes the entire complexion of the KC defense. I know I said that earlier at the top of the show, but it really does. Without him there, I expect Gibbs and Montgomery to have awesome games. So I think that's really going to hurt them on Thursday night. And if you're listening to this after Thursday night and I was right, of course I was. And if I was wrong, of course I was.
Okay. And then I don't think this is the one that I thought of during our conversations, but I'll ask you this. So you've already highlighted a few games in week one that could be potential shootouts, right? Well, you've been pretty famous. I think this was a friend's fortune you got right either last year or the year before, that week one is typically a little lower scoring because teams are just figuring it out, so we don't have a ton of games that go over X amount of points.
I think it was week one last year because I was so excited that I got one up on friend's fortunes. I promise you, I'm going to keep better track of it this year to see who gets more, but I think I think you've won every year though, like you've gotten the most right, so but I really want to keep track of it this year.
So you see potential for a lot of shootouts, which you defined as team scoring 25 plus each. How many games on the flip side? So you might have to look at it, do some math.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it up.
How many games do you think are gonna be low scoring affairs?
Okay, low scoring affairs. All right, count. Do you want me to tell you the games too?
Yeah.
Panthers Falcons.
You think that'll be low scoring?
A little bit low scoring.
Okay.
I don't think the Texans are going to score a lot, but I think the Ravens are, so I don't count that one. I think Bengals-Browns is one that could be low scoring. I think – let's keep going. I think Titans-Saints could be a low scoring game. Broncos-Raiders could honestly go either way for me because I could see their defenses both like – not being ready, and it ends up being high scoring, but I could also see them being kind of locked in a little bit.
Okay.
And low scoring. I absolutely think Pat's Eagles is going to be low scoring. And then the last one that I think is low scoring is Monday night.
Okay.
I think Monday night's 2017 Jets. I've thought that for a little while now. I think it's 2017 Jets with like an Aaron Rodgers field goal to win it at the end.
Okay.
Like a drive to lead the field goal. So.
Okay.
So I think there's four or five that'll be decently low scoring. But I think the ones that I highlighted, I'm very excited about the potential for shootout territory.
There we go. There we go.
I actually think Bills-Jets is going to be like the type of game that I love, which is like gritty and the defenses are playing very well and like every yard is tough and like the quarterbacks are having to make these amazing throws to move the ball, you know, gritty running on short yardage, and we just don't end up winning it. But I think it'll end up be that kind of game, personally.
Oh, man. Cook-off.
Which means it's going to be 41-42.
Cook-off.
Cook-off part three, but also... I don't know. It's fine. Back to grill. All right. It's time for Fantasy Corner.
Nice. That was good.
Don't you normally
I couldn't remember if I did.
I feel like you normally do, or you do something.
We do this. I don't think we do the same thing.
No, we don't, but it's definitely not me just out on a ledge like it was.
I like that. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, if you didn't listen to our episode, let's give a rundown of our roster real quick.
So we drafted this weekend at quarterbacks. We are in a super flex, half point PPR, tight end premium. Adam lied to y'all. They don't get a point per reception. They just get an extra half point. So it's not.
So it's 1.5 per reception for tight end and 0.5 per wide receiver.
No, it's one. For tight end.
Oh, I thought it was 1.5.
No.
Well, it's still an extra half point, but
yes. It still is more impactful. So we have Jalen Hurts and Geno Smith as our starting quarterbacks. We have rookie phenom Bijan Robinson and then Ramondre Stevenson at running back. Wide receivers, we have three, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Keenan Allen, and then rookie Jordan Addison. At tight end, we have Pat Freiermuth right now. And in our flex position, we have Javonte Williams. We are rolling with the Washington Commanders at defense going against the Arizona Cardinals, which I wasn't even thinking about that when we were like, Washington. I think Washington can just be great, but in terms of a streamer defense.
I was thinking about it, but I also do think Washington can be good. So,
And then we have some depth pieces that we liked. We did make a move. You want to talk
about
the move?
Yeah, so we did just make a move. We talked about Travis Kelce's injury possibly being able to linger, so we did pick up Noah Gray. Now we have Freiermuth, right? But I think that Noah Gray's a guy that's been on the team a handful of years. They use him every now and then. But I genuinely think because of the question marks on this offense in terms of who's going to get the targets outside of Kelce, with him also being gone, I think just another guy in the mix at that tight end position. Andy Reid loves tight ends. Legitimately, Brent Celek was a superstar with the Eagles and nowhere else, right? So I genuinely think that also I think that he was there when they got Ertz to start. I think Ertz may have been a rookie with Andy Reid. But regardless, Andy Reid loves to use the tight end regardless of who it is. So I really think that he'll be utilized. And we said this injury could linger. So Noah Gray could turn into the guy that we play, but he could also turn into a little bit of a trade piece. It's certainly for the guy who took Kelce number one overall. So
yeah, I was happy that we jumped on it. I think it's definitely advantageous. We did drop Adam Thielen because we did have to have a discussion. We have done this every year, it feels like, where we get excited about something and we drop somebody.
So Thielen's going to score three touchdowns on
and
Sunday.
And then we will never be able to get him again, and he'll have like 17 touchdowns on the year. How do you feel? I mean, are we thinking about plugging Noah Gray in? Like, let's say tomorrow get Travis Kelce, it's ruled out. Let's go with this assumption.
I think it's a conversation because we know that not only does Detroit defense struggle, I literally was just reading advanced analytics on how bad their defense is against tight ends last year. So I think it's a conversation because I do love Freiermuth, but the 49ers.
You did say you think Freiermuth
will catch
an end
zone
touchdown.
But the 49ers defense is tough. You know what I mean? I mean, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think it's great that we did it, but I am just nervous. I mean, you know, I've been hyping up San Francisco, and I talked about players at every level of their defense, and I think Fred Warner out there, I would take Fred Warner over Pat Freiermuth in terms of you know, what's going on and whatnot. But I don't know. I mean, Noah Gray has never caught more than three balls in a game.
Right, but this is also as the backup to Travis Kelce.
Sure.
So last year, sure. I found that last year the tight ends versus Detroit. Detroit ranked 25th in EPA per attempt. It was a negative EPA. And they were they were 29th in success rate. So success rate targeting the tight ends against Detroit last year, 56%, right? And that was this that held true across the board, both on early downs and in the red zone. They were both just as bad. So I they really struggle against the tight end position. And I like Jack Campbell, who they drafted, but he's not known for being a pass coverage linebacker. He's known for being that sort of middle field general, make the tackle kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I think it should be a conversation, but I don't think we would be, you know, watch. Kelsey's going to be fine and score like 5 touchdowns on 4 receptions. But I do think it should be a conversation. I really do. I don't know. I mean, if you tell me that, hey, no, we got to go with Freiermuth, don't get cute week one, I can understand you. But I would consider it.
Okay. Okay. I hear you. I hear you. We'll have to. We're obviously not going to make that decision right now. We have to see. I mean,
right. We're not going to play him if Kelsey's playing, right? But if Kelsey's out, then the conversation is.
So, that is a conundrum going on with our team right now. Yeah. Like I said, I think it was a great move to make and do that. So, outside of that, tell me who is, and I don't want something super obvious like Bijan Robinson.
I'm glad you said that because that's what it would have been.
Sure. And I mean, I think he'll be a pretty good play against Carolina.
Right. Yeah,
but who is your slightly deeper cut fantasy player of the week?
It's Antonio Gibson. I've been on him all offseason. I have a lot of stock in Antonio Gibson. I talked about him in our fantasy show. I genuinely think he's going to be used a lot. He's going to be used in the pass game. I think that I don't know that he'll have like 100 yards rushing or 100 yards receiving. I think he will have 100 all-purpose yards, and he will score. I really think that they're going to use him all over the field. I think Howell is going to early on be like, this is a guy that I could dump it off and feel comfortable doing so with. So that's my fantasy player of the week.
Okay, okay. I like you? That. I'm going with Garrett Wilson on Monday night. I think it's supposed to be, I mean, the forecast right now is calling for a little bit of rain, and we know how particular Rodgers is about trust and whatnot, so I could see a lot of shorter in-cut routes similar to the week 18 against Miami, where, you know, Wilson was the only one that was finding little holes and he didn't necessarily eat a lot. I mean, I think he had like 10 for like 90 yards. We could see that again, but in fantasy that will be so valuable. So I think,
especially with most formats being PPR nowadays, that kind of line is more valuable than the 1 for 90.
Yeah. So I am the Wilson train.
All right. Awesome. That was Fantasy's Corner, sponsored by Advil, because I'm sure to have a headache all year from fantasy football. All right. Friends Fortune for week one. So we decided that now we're in a new location, but what we're going to do is we're going to set a timer. Each Friend's Fortune takes 30 seconds. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
I want to go first so I can just get it over with.
Okay, so let me pull my phone out and set the timer, and then I will walk out. And as soon as you hear the door close, I will start the timer, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I'm gonna press mute on my thing, and I'm going to walk out.
Here we go. Adam's walking out, everybody. He's actually running. That was not walking. That was impressive. Short line lateral. Lateral speed. Okay, the door has shut, so that means the timer is on, everybody. All right, so I'm going to the Thursday night football game. We were talking about Chris Jones not being there, and I do think that impacts the game. I talked about a few other players that I could see stepping up. I think Nick Bolton is one of my favorite middle linebackers in the league right now. I think he sets a new career high with tackles, and he has 20-plus tackles as Detroit tries to attack up the middle. I see Nick Bolton playing with fire, his hair, his beautiful dreads on fire, 20-plus tackles, week one, new record for Nick Bolton. Yeah, okay, so I don't know how I did in terms of time. Oh, perfect. I wasn't done yet. Get out. Fine, whatever. Okay.
Were you actually not done? No. Oh, okay. Well, get ready to start your time. Oh, okay, first of all, I did not look that goofy doing that. That was kind of rude. I'm a little upset. All right, door closed. Okay, so I said, I got 30 seconds here. Okay, so I talked about Darren Waller being huge in this Giant offense. Darren Waller has more career seasons with 1,000 receiving yards than any other New York Giants tight ends combined. So I think that starts off this season, this Sunday night. I think he goes for 6-plus catches and 125-plus yards and one score. I'm not going to include the victory in that prediction, but I do think he goes for those big numbers on Sunday Night Football, leading to a victory. Now I just don't know what Josh was doing there. I just don't know why. It took him so long, as I've been sitting here for 10 seconds waiting for him to come back in, and now here he is.
It's good for you.
Now, be honest. Did you not get through your friend's fortune?
Yeah, no, I was done.
Okay, good. Hey, man, week one.
Here it is. We did it. In the books.
I'm so excited. I'm bummed that we won't get to spend it together, but I'm sure we'll text. Although, I don't know if you have service when you're hiking in the mountains.
Doing star dances.
So, you're going to have to let me know if you got time to check
in. We'll have to see. Yeah. Talk about how those Titans are looking real bad.
Won't happen. All right. Thanks for tuning in to Simultaneous Catch, folks. Make sure you follow our Instagram, at Simultaneous Catch. Our Twitter is at Simult. Make sure you check the Run Your Pool. I will drop it again when I post this next episode, and I'll share it a couple times. Share it with your friends. Free entry and a free apparel of your choice at the end of the season for your favorite team. So make sure you do that. It'll be a lot of fun. Anything else, bud?
Yeah, I am just really looking forward to week one. Enjoy it, guys, because before you know it, we're going to be sitting here being like, it's week 13, and where to go?
We'll be here.
We do that every year, so.
You'll be here in three sweaters because my living room will be freezing.
Sure will.
Christmas tree will be up.
It's here we'll have to wait for the bad Bills loss for that to come up, so.
It'll happen. Don't worry. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you after week one. God bless.